We are live.
My name is Carl Cox. Today is January 7th, 2021. It's approximately 1 p.m. This is a matter of Dublin Solar LLC, file Z0461-20-C. I'm going to turn the hearing briefly over to the county to provide an explanation of participation by Zoom. Please
thank you. All right, I'm just going to read this verbatim. Bear with me. It's just going to take a minute here. Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic. This public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. County will make every effort to post a recording on the county website as soon as possible. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. Hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature, or with such a small group, you can just raise your hand. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it's time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to me, and I'm going to have a slide at the end of the little PowerPoint dog and pony show I have. Or you can just snail mail it, Clackamas County Planning, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, 97045. And I'll put that up on the screen again here in a minute. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard email address or standard mailing address. That's it. Back over to the hearings officer.
Thank you. I thought that was clear. Did anyone else have any questions? Please raise your hand if you do. Otherwise, let's proceed. My name again is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means that please direct your testimony, arguments, and evidence to the criteria outlined in the county's staff report. That staff report is important because it states the determining criteria for making a decision in this matter. That criteria is found at Zoning and Development Ordinance 401, also Section 1203, especially Point 02, Sections A through F. I found them outlined completely within the staff report, and I don't feel like we need to repeat them out loud here. I thought that was clear. Please keep in mind as the applicant or as a participant in this hearing that if you fail to raise an issue accompanied by statements, evidence, some type of web evidence I can consider, which would give me the ability or afford me as the decision maker of an opportunity to make a decision based on your argument, that you may be precluded from using that in an appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals. So failure of the applicant to raise any kind of constitutional or other issues relating to, for example, proposed conditions of approval, which I see are included in the staff report, will preclude you from raising that later in an appeal to the Clackamas or to the state's Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. I want to state for the record that I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of today's hearing to try to persuade me concerning a fact or a matter which will be at issue today. I have considered issues of conflict of interest or bias, and I do not have any. I don't have any personal stake or pecuniary interest in this matter, and no one here is, am I aware of any conflict of interest that I may have. So with that, let's begin the hearing. The procedure will be, I'll ask the county to begin by presenting the evidence, and it's including its staff report and the related exhibits that it has to support the county's review of this matter. I'll give the applicant an opportunity as well to present information that the applicant wants me to consider in this matter. If there are members of the public or third parties that wish to support or rebut the evidence provided by either the county or the applicant, they'll have an opportunity at the end. And if such happens, I may provide either the county or the applicant an opportunity to further rebut whatever's presented. There may also be an opportunity to request that the record remain open following the hearing to submit additional written documentation. Are there any questions before we begin? No? I'll ask the county to present the evidence the county wants me to consider.
Okay, thank you. Just a note here, as far as participants, we have county staff, me, we have Darcy as the moderator, we have our hearings officer, Mr. Cox, we have the applicant represented by Connor Grogan and Enda Grogan, and there are no other participants. Okay. And I believe all of us have looked at the staff report. We are familiar with the project. That being the case, I'm going to be brief, and I'm going to blow through this really quickly. Now, if when I get done, anybody has any questions, feel free to ask, because I'm going to be really quick, but I need to do this to help create a record. So bear with me here for just a little bit, all right? I've got this cool PowerPoint, if I can figure out how to do it. All right, am I sharing screen?
Yes, sir.
All right. So here's our file number 461-20-CO. And also I should mention, and in the words of my favorite planning director, my internet is unstable today. And I've actually, it's just knocked me out a couple of times and it gets really slow. So hopefully that won't happen. Anyway, this is a conditional use request for a photovoltaic solar, passive solar array, 20 acres on a 94 acre property. The property itself is just a little bit south of Malala on Highway 213, address number 32602. It's about 94, 95 acres in size. Site itself is in farm use. The dwelling is in place. Zone designation exclusive farm use, EFU. This part of the county is typified by farming. This is farm country. There are scattered rural residential home sites, but it's farming. For context, here we go. You got Malala here. I got 211 heading towards Colton this way, Oregon City to the north. Points south on 213. Here's our property. I'm going to zoom in on it a little bit closer. This lights it up a little bit. Here's City of Malala. Here's our property. This is a good sized piece, 95 acres. It's got some farm use. It's also got a pretty sizable woodlot. It's got a named creek running on the northern portion of the site. It's also got a couple of other drainages, but it's a big piece of ground. On this map, I also lit up this feature over here. I hope you can see it. This is a private airport. It's run by a group called Skydive Oregon, the people who will take you up in a plane and, you know, drop you out. And I lit that up here because I wanted to show the primary approach surfaces, the imaginary surfaces for this, just to show that it's outside the application area of one of our code sections, but I'll get into that in just a second. Here's an aerial. Here's what happens if you get closer to it. This is it. You've got, here's the woodlot with a residence and various outbuildings. There's also other outbuildings over here. There's a small creek heads in here and goes out under 213. The applicant was gracious enough to submit a soils map. And this is important when comparing this proposal, particularly to Division 33 standards, but also through our own code section 401. This is the submitted site plan. This is the array area, approximately 20 acres. The best farm ground, I'm going to pop back up here a little bit, and this is detailed in the staff report, so don't you know, this isn't the full meal deal, but the best farm ground is up in this portion of the property. This is actually class two soil. It's prime soil. Get down in here. This is hard scrabble. That's the name of the soils type. And it's not good farm ground. It's used in this case as part of the woodlot and just as pasture. And that's where they're proposing to put the array is on the bad soils, if you will. I just kind of like this slide, even though it's hard to read. What this shows are most of the approved photovoltaic solar facilities in Clackamas County. I don't know how we rank in the state, but I'm sure we rank pretty high. We've got 40 of these things that are approved. I'm going to skip past that one. All right, so this is a conditional use. Section 1203 of the Clackamas County Zoning and Development Ordinance is the parent code section, sort of the umbrella that covers, you know, all the rest of the code sections. There are six criteria in Section 1203 which must be met. They deal with a variety of other code sections, including the underlying EFU zone, 401. Several of the development review standards found in Chapter 1000, and I want to talk about 1005 in just a second. Also, Chapter 704, the Ruska River and Stream Conservation Area. There's that little creek, Kaiser Creek, clips a portion of the property. Also in play here is Oregon Administrative Rule, Chapter 660, Division 33, Sub 130, Sub 38. And there's some statutory reference also, 215.296, which gets you into 0.283, which basically repeats what we have in Section 401. But, you know, redundancy is good in this case. So I'm going to go really quickly through the six conditional use criteria. First one, it needs to be shown that the proposal itself is provided for as a conditional use in the underlying zone. This is EFU. Typo. I'm going to change table 406 to 401 if nobody cares.
Interesting. Anyway, I don't think it was confusing.
Okay, table 401 does call out just this type of use as a potential conditional use in the underlying zone. Ipso facto, the first one is met. The second criterion needs to be shown that the site itself is capable of supporting this use based on a variety of dimensional standards, natural features, built features. Can the property itself, isolated in space, support this use? I was able to make positive findings there. The third criterion, this deals with a transportation system. Conditional uses generally require findings against Section 1007.09. This is a concurrency section of our code. This is where it needs to be shown that the system, the transportation network, is capable of supporting any additional traffic or will be made capable through the conditional use. This particular type of use is exempt from that provision. This is an unoccupied utility facility and is exempt from that. However, it's not exempt from safety. And in this case, the main point of safety concern is at the driveway entrance to Highway 213. The proposal is to use an existing driveway. ODOT was notified. ODOT did comment. Thank you. And the applicant would be directed to work with that agency regarding the driveway. I was able to make positive findings for that third criterion. Fourth one, and this is where in conditional use, in public hearings, where we oftentimes spend most of our discussing, we just discuss most here. The proposed use will not alter the character of the surrounding area in a manner that substantially limits, impairs, or precludes the use of surrounding properties, for the primary use is allowed in the zoning districts in which the surrounding properties are located. In this case, this is in a large area zoned EFU. All the surrounding properties are zoned exclusive farm use. Uses allowed outright in the EFU zone, generally speaking, are those related to farming and forest. So the applicant needs to show, the county needs to find in this case, that this proposed photovoltaic array will not interfere with those surrounding uses, that it will be able to coexist with those surrounding uses in a manner that does not substantially limit, impair, or preclude the use of those surrounding properties. This particular use, there'll be a little activity when it's being, you know, put in, but after that, it is essentially inert. It just exists. It doesn't make noise. It doesn't move around. It doesn't create dust. There's very little traffic, maybe one in and out a month for maintenance. The main issue that we've talked about at previous public hearings on this is visual. It looks different than what else is going on out there. From depending on your angle, it can look like a very large, low warehouse. It just looks different. In this particular case, notice went out to all the usual suspects, including neighboring property owners. We received no comments from any of the neighboring property owners with concerns of any kind, including visual. I was able to make positive findings here, and I may lose my voice. The fifth criterion, the applicant needs to show that the proposal meets applicable criteria from the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan is the big book of dreams, a very broad, big policy statements that are distilled down into the code section. But in this case, I picked out chapter 3, the natural resource and energy section, chapter 4, land use, in this case, agriculture, and chapter 5, transportation. The applicant did as well. We both submitted findings to this, and I was able to come out positive for this criterion. Sixth criterion, you got to show the proposed use complies with any requirements of the underlying zoning district in any overlay zoning districts. Again, this is EFU. As far as overlay, there is no Section 800. Section 704 is in play because of Kaiser Creek, which clips the northeast corner. In the staff report, I think I pointed out that the proposed area of use is at least 1,000 feet away from Kaiser Creek, certainly outside of any buffer requirements. And also, this proposed use needs to comply with applicable 1,000 sections. Those are the development review sections from our zoning code. I went through those in more detail in the staff report. And while I'm thinking about it, I put a note there. Section 1005, in the past, you know, we've looked at a lot of these over the last about 3 years, I'd say. And we kind of, depending on who's looking at it, go back and forth as to whether or not Section 1005 even applies. Section 1005, I think the title is Sustainable Site and Building Design. This is a conditional use. It's commercial. In the applicability section of Section 1005, it's supposed to apply. Certainly none of the building design standards do. And frankly, I have a hard time finding any of the site design standards that might apply. So I'm going to leave this open to the hearings officer. You're welcome to try to address Section 7 or 1005. I did not, because it's just been our practice of late to not consider that for this type of use. It's just, this is a very unique, different type of use, and the 1005 just doesn't feel right. Division 33 of Oregon Administrative Rule comes into play here. I went through applicable portions of that in the staff report. It is wordy. I tried to parse it out, pick out those sections that apply and compare it to this use, and was able to make positive findings. This, you know, there were substantial changes made to Division 33, of which county staff, Marta Fritzi, was a big part of that at the estate level, which basically removed this as a possible conditional use from anything predominantly class one, class two primary unique soils, which really takes out a big chunk, most of Clackamas County's EFU land. We have really good dirt. It did, however, as kind of a trade-off, allow slightly larger size developments and went from 12 acre maximum to 20 acre maximum on what is defined as arable soils. In this case, the property in question is not composed predominantly of class 1, 2, 3 primary unique, 1, 2 primary unique soils, excuse me, and the area proposed for use is on arable soils. All right, recommending approval there, and I just want to put this up. I know both of the Grogans know this, but if you want to send me anything on this, well, it'll depend on whether or not this is going to be left open, and we already have your addresses for mailing. If the record is left open, though, just email it to me, okay? Or you can mail it. And with that, I'm going to take a breath and ask if anybody has any questions.
I don't have any questions, sir. I thought your staff report was very complete. Thank you for your very clear presentation. Now I'd like to provide an opportunity for the applicant to present information, testimony, or evidence that the applicant wants me to consider in addition to what the county has already presented concerning this request.
Thank you, Hearings Officer Cox. I will be presenting testimony on behalf of the applicant Sulis Solar. So I might share my screen, Darcy, if you can allow it, please. You might let me know if you can see it there.
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Clay, for reading out the staff report. I know yourself and Darcy have seen this presentation a couple of times already. So I will briefly run through it for you, hearings officer Cox. So for the record, my name is Enda Grogan, and I am representing Sulla Solar this afternoon on the Dublin Solar conditional use permit application hearing. So the contents of this testimony will give a brief introduction into our company. I will then run through our site identification process. I'll briefly give a rundown on the benefits of a solar project such as this for the local community. And then the next couple of slides will look at the project specifics, including the application that we submitted. And then it will conclude then with a brief summary of the Oregon Community Solar Program, which we hope to enroll this project into. So Sulla Solar are a solar development company that are based out of Portland, Oregon. Our day-to-day activities involve identifying suitable sites, acquiring grid connection with the utility, in this case it's Portland General Electric. We agree lease contract terms with landowners. We then obtain land use and building permits with the county and the necessary departments. With some of our projects, we subscribe them into the community solar program, and then we construct and operate. There are a number of factors that come into consideration when identifying sites. The first and most important factor is that there is sufficient grid infrastructure in the area to support the project. So this entails a project being in proximity to three-phase distribution power. Ideally, the site is in proximity to a substation. And then we look for areas that have sufficient consumption to account for the increase in energy generation. After we find the areas with good grid infrastructure, we then look for an amenable landowner who is open to signing a long-term lease. And then finally, we look for a suitable location on the property that will have the correct soils profiles, that won't have any environmental issues. Ideally, we look for sites that have independent access, which is the case with Dublin Solar. And then we look for sites that have low to no visual impact on surrounding properties. And then with all these factors, we conclude that the project doesn't negatively affect any surrounding land uses. So before I get into the project specifics on Dublin Solar, couple of the benefits that a solar project such as this might give the local community. During the 2 to 3 month construction timeline, there are approximately 40 jobs created. A project such as this one will create about $20,000 in tax revenue for the county. Having smaller generation facilities such as this located around the county reduces or increases the local energy security, which is quite pertinent in recent years due to the local fires. Then one thing that I'll go into in further detail is that it can reduce local consumer bills by allowing them to participate in the community solar program. And then once we compare this development with other developments, as Clay had mentioned earlier on, it's quite benign, it's passive, and it's low in height. So the next couple of slides are going to briefly look through the project itself and the application that was submitted. So the Dublin Solar project is located 2.3 miles southwest of Malala, and the 94-acre property is zoned for exclusive farm use. The reason we chose this site itself is that it is in adherence to all the state and county rules. So like Clay said earlier on, it is in adherence to the OAR arable soils definitions. This site is in proximity to the grid infrastructure that runs down Highway 213. We feel that the introduction of the project won't negatively affect any of the surrounding farm uses. There is sufficient setback from the wetlands that are on the project site, and there are no FEMA floodplains or potential wildlife issues. The next two or three slides will look at the application submission itself. So in Appendix 3, we included an inventory of all parcels and portions of parcels within 1,000 feet of the subject tract. We inventoried all the common practices that take place on these tracks, their respective access points, and also the costs associated with farming these parcels. The conclusion of this is that there won't be any change to these practices or any change to the cost involved in farming these practices, and therefore only 20 acres would be removed from farmland, satisfying the county and state codes. In Appendix 5, we included a soil erosion and compaction plan, which details the best management practices that will be implemented to minimise soil erosion and compaction both prior, during and after construction and during operation. We also included a weed control report, which details the weeds that have the potential to occur on and off the site. It also includes the construction and operation best management practices that are going to be implemented, and also a long-term maintenance plan for the duration of the useful life of the facility. In addition to the aforementioned documents, we also included a National Wetlands Inventory map, a FEMA floodplain map, a signed preliminary statement of feasibility, an agricultural pest plan, an NRCS soil services map, and also a map showing that this site is in adherence to the 80 acre within 1 mile rule. So before I conclude, our intentions for this project is to enroll it into the Oregon Community Solar Program, which essentially allows those without sufficient roof space or land space to subscribe to a portion of a project, thus allowing them to reduce their electricity bill, depending on how much they subscribe to. So I know it was brief this morning, so to conclude, we feel like we have selected an appropriate site. Our application was deemed complete by staff. Clay issued an approval decision last week, and we feel like we are in adherence to the state and county codes. So that concludes this testimony. I'm more than happy to take any questions that you may have.
I don't have any substantive questions. I've seen in your application that you've included all of the information in your burden of proof document is what you've detailed it as. It's not exactly the same as the PowerPoint presentation, but I see the same information. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. Largely speaking, it's just kind of a minimized version of the application that we submitted.
Okay. I didn't see anything in your presentation that wasn't included there. Are you asking to submit this into the record to be considered?
Usually speaking, Clay, you might answer to this one. I'm not too sure. Are they usually included into the record, or?
Well, I'll answer it this way. We've had a changing of the guard, and it really, that matters. I think now we probably should just have you submit this into the record. We'll make an exhibit out of it.
Sure.
And that'll be that.
Yeah.
Then so email me a copy of
the record open then for 7 days to receive this. Is that enough time for you to forward it to the county and the county to send it to me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shorter period may be acceptable.
Yeah, sure. I think as short as possible. I think it's just a matter of attaching it to an email straight after this public hearing and then forward it on to Mr. Glasgow.
Yeah, I'll get it to you today.
Okay, so the record then is will remain open through the close of business today. And if I don't receive it by the close of business today, I'm just going to make my written findings based on the record that I have, including the larger document that you submitted. So I don't think that that hurts your application for a conditional use permit. Is that clear?
Yeah, that is clear.
All right. So the record will consist of the materials that I've already received, these including the application, the full application with related exhibits that were submitted, the staff report that I received and related exhibits that I also received, the record of the hearing that was conducted today, and if I receive it by the close of business today, will also include your summary presentation. Okay?
Understood.
All right. I will then provide a written decision concerning your application for a conditional use permit, which will be issued within 20 days of tomorrow then, because the record's open through the close of business today. It should be issued sooner. And but honestly, based on the information that I've already received, I don't find this to be a controversial application for a conditional use permit, and I expect that I will approve it, including the conditions requested by the county. All right. Any questions concerning that?
I think just for the record, we're happy to for all the conditions that the county have issued.
Okay. Does the county have anything further?
No, I just wish they were all this way.
And I will strive to conduct hearings all this way. I will look for an email with an attachment of today's presentation, and I will issue a written decision. All right. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Get that to me, Amanda. You're going to email that to me right away?
Will do, yeah.
Okay.